Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And welcome once again to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today, and we'll be talking a lot about the final stop on the FedEx Cup playoff tour, and that, of course, is the Tour Championship, which is scheduled for this weekend coming up at Eastlake Golf Club in Atlanta. We'll be talking with our good friend Paul Stankowski, former PGA Tour player, whose eyes are now on the 50 and over Tour Champions, and we'll talk to him about his career, how that's going, but also what he thinks about what might happen at Eastlake between DJ and John Rahm and Justin Thomas and all the other great guys all the way down to the top 30, which made it into the Tour Championship. So a lot of drama coming up this weekend at Eastlake. As always, Frank Bassett in our Nashville studios joining us. How you doing today, Frank?
I'm doing good. Just not in Eastlake, not in Atlanta, at Eastlake.
I know, for the first time for the last few years.
God, yeah. First time in forever. Absolutely, yeah, forever. Yeah. So, yeah, it's tough to watch it. But interestingly enough, real quickly, and we'll get into this more, Eastlake on TV right now, when you look at the course, and I watched the matches yesterday between, Palmer and Zach Johnson had a couple of big stars with them, Carter and Bettis, playing. The course looks totally different without all of the structures that are built for this tournament around Eastlake.
Sure, sure.
So sight lines and all that, I'm really interested to hear what our good friend Paul Stankowski says about, you know, when you don't have those sight lines, certain sight lines, you have to find new ones to figure it out, I guess.
Well, Paul likes to refer to them as bumpers. When he was a young bowler, there were no gutter balls. And when you play on the PGA Tour, you have the advantage, if you're lucky enough, you have some fans that can occasionally kick a ball out from going in the trees. And you certainly have bumpers behind a lot of the greens, as you're saying, the hospitality tents would prevent a shot from being airmailed into a pond on the other side of the green into knocking it back within a couple of feet of the green sometimes. So they kind of could come in handy once in a while. So let's bring in Paul Stankowski, who's been through the PGA Tour and now getting into the PGA Tour champions and the 50 and up group, and we'll talk all about that kind of stuff and a lot of other stuff. How are you doing today, Paul?
Well, you know, I'm starting to think here, guys, that I want to see the statistics since the season started up again without fans, spectators, patrons, whatever you want to call them. I wonder how many more like lost balls there have been.
Yeah.
You know, we still have volunteers out there, which are great, but you know, when you have 10,000 people following you around, you're not going to lose any golf balls. But so there's that. I'd love that stat at the end of the year. But then you talked about bumpers. You're right, and you know, guys are now having to get they have a bad lie every time they hit it in the rough because there are people trampling down the deal. Tiger never got a bad. He always hit it when he hit it in the rough, which was about half the time. He was always in a perfect lie because it had been trampled down by his 10,000 fans walking with him. So so a little different. I liked the bumpers. I liked the trampled down rough personally more than thick rough. Thankfully they all have to deal with it though. But yeah, there are some golf courses. If you played Eastlake many years, you know, there are targets that you aimed at that aren't there anymore. I remember Pebble Beach one year, playing in the AT&T for many years. You know, there was always on 18 there at Pebble, you know, the grandstand, the sky boxes, whatever you want to call them, up the right-hand side of the green. Like, you couldn't see the hotel. And I remember the first time I played just a recreational round at Pebble Beach without the tournament being there, I was like, whoa, I didn't realize there was 150 yards of grass and then a hotel up there.
When did they build that?
It's a different deal. I didn't know where to aim off the tee, you know, and all of a sudden the ocean got bigger. And so, they're different. It's a different animal, but I think the guys are adjusting pretty well.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Paul, about the rough too, because they've cut the rough down a little bit at Eastlake this year, but it's still Bermuda rough. And you know, if the ball sinks to the bottom, which 95% of the time it will in that type of rough, it's not going to be fun coming out of that.
No, I saw somebody post a quick video. I'm not sure who it was. I saw it on one of the platforms that they've talked about the rough just being, what, 2.5 inches, yeah, which doesn't sound like a lot. And they videoed them throwing a ball down, and it took one hop and it, yep, nestled down.
Gone.
And to where the top of the golf ball, I mean, you can still see it when you're standing above it, but it was like dropping it into a vat of flour. Like it just went right around the ball. So that's fun. If you're watching, it's not a whole lot of fun if you're trying to hit it out of there with a 7-iron.
Yeah, that was our good friend Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel that did that.
That's correct. It was Todd.
Yeah, it was Todd. Todd spends a lot of time in the rough anyway, so he likes that. Sorry, Todd, threw you under the bus, so to speak.
It's the way it is. Again, we're joined by Paul Stankowski. Hey, Stanky, the Tour Championship, as we know, final 30 guys, and what drama that we had at the BMW Championship with DJ forcing a playoff with a great putt and only to see John Rahm top him on the same green in the first playoff hole with an even better putt to get to the place we're at. And as people should know, but if you don't, 30 guys, and they've now got it structured so that DJ, in this case, the leader in the FedEx Cup points, is at 10 under. So the leaderboard's already set at, he's at 10 under, then Rahm's at 8, 7 under, 6, and on, all the way down to even par for the last 5 guys are at even par. And boom, you start, and you start the tournament. And those last guys, Billy Horschel, will start 10 shots behind DJ. If you're one of those guys, if you're in the bottom 5, bottom 8 or 10, and you're already 10 shots or 7 or 8 shots behind DJ, what would be your mindset for those guys? And do you think, I still got a chance, or do you kind of go into that? They are all going to make pretty good money. The top 30 guys will all get pretty good checks here. But would you go into that if you had to be in those guys' shoes and say, I got a 10-shot disadvantage against DJ, but if I can shoot a 64, 65, and he only manages a par, I might be able to pick up 3 or 4 shots on a given round. I still have a chance, or not so much so?
It's not only that they're 10 shots behind DJ. They're 8 behind Rahm. They're 7 behind the next guy, 6 behind the next guy. So you've got an entire field. Now, the field's only 30 players. So the first thing you're doing is you're going, okay, what's last place? Okay, sweet. I'm making 200, whatever yeah. It is. You know, it might even be $1 million. So you're like, guaranteed. All right, good. So there's no pressure, right? You're at the Tour Championship. You accomplished one of your many goals that you've had during the year. This is the elite of the elite. You made it, okay? You have 4 rounds to go before this freaking 2020 year is over, release season. I'm sure the guys are super excited that they actually even got to this point, because 2 months ago, 3 months ago, this has been a sucky year, period. But anyway, they're excited. It's pedal down, right, for the guys at the end. Yeah, do they have to shoot 62 today? No. You know, there's no guarantees. DJ can shoot, 2-3 over par for the week. Now he's 8, right? John Rahm can shoot over par. Now, these are the best players in the world. They're probably not going to do that, but a guy like Ryan Palmer, they ought to have a grandpa or something on his back, because I think he's 7 years older than the next youngest guy in the field, next oldest guy in the field.
Really?
But Ryan, yeah, he is. I mean, that's pretty impressive, right? Ryan at 43 years old, I think. I think he's 7 years clear of the next oldest guy in the field. I think that's an awesome
probably DJ. Right, DJ's like 36, isn't he? Something like that?
DJ might be the next guy, yeah. So you look at a guy like Ryan Palmer, who's completely capable. He's had a great season to be in the Tour Championship without winning. He's just had a really good year. If he can go out and just play solid golf the next couple days, close the gap. I don't think – what did he start? Is he like 1 or 2 under?
1. He's 1 under.
Minus 1.
He's 1 under. Mm-hmm. So he's 9 back. So if he can go out and, shoot – 3-4 under par the first day, get to 5-7 under par after 2 days. I mean, that's obviously a great start on a golf course that's going to play really difficult. But you'd love to just put the pedal down and go. You don't want to spin your wheels right out of the gate. But then again, it's the Tour Championship. And so what if you finish last? You're still going to make a bunch of money and you had a good year. So, I think it'll be fun to see who goes out firing today. You're going to see some guys shoot a bunch over par because they are going to be aggressive. And if it works well, they can shoot a good number and claw their way back into this tournament. But, I like the format. I like the changes. I think it's fun. It does reward the player who's played the best, over the course of the season. It is a little bit funky. You know, I'd love to see a way you could reward a player at the end of the week with a bonus of some sort for winning this tournament, right? Or even do like a, you know, low score each day kind of thing. You know, I don't know, something that's you know, that would bring the guys who are 30th, you know, 20th to 30th that really don't have a chance to win the whole thing, you know, bring them in a little bit. So I don't know. But that being said, this is it, man. I know these guys are excited about getting this this going.
Yeah, and today will be 93 degrees in Atlanta and about 90% humidity. Yeah. Tee time start at 12 o'clock Eastern. So that's a walk. That golf course is a real walk. It's 7,300 yards. The course, as you know, is called a Donald Ross course, guys, but actually it was originally designed by Tom Bendolo. And a redesign,
really?
Yeah, redesigned by Donald Ross, which has been the case in tons of golf courses across the United States that have become Donald Ross courses that were originally Tom Bendolo golf courses. So it's a classic golf course, 7,300 yard par 70. Hello, par threes are brutal.
It's a bear. There's no doubt it's a bear, and you're gonna have to play some good golf. But DJ's got to be happy with his lead, and I just can't believe that we're already here. It's already Tour Championship week.
Let's back up for a minute. What were your impressions of those DJ's final putt and regulation play last week at the BMW, and then John Rahm coming back and snaking in a 60-footer, and then DJ putting it within 4 inches to almost time again? What were your thoughts on that, Paul?
I think, obviously, you know, John Rahm's putt to win is, you know, the bigger putt because it's to win a tournament. But DJ's putt on 18 to get in the playoff, that was freaking brutal. It was tough, up the slope, double breaking. That was really cool. You know, we've seen some pretty cool putts over the last couple months. And, you know, what happened over at Jack's place with JT and Morikawa. Sometimes, you know, John Rahm made the putt in San Diego a few years back on the back of the 18th green there to win. So he's got a propensity to make a big putt. But, you know, 60-footer, 66 feet, I guess is what that was.
Yeah.
It's not something that you're looking at making. He's just trying to get it in a little window up there. It went in. So pretty special deal there. That was exciting.
Yeah, it was an amazing finish to a golf tournament, and it's been a great run for Dustin Johnson. Of course, winning the week before in blowaway fashion when he won at the Northern Trust outside of Boston there. Then he comes back and gets into a playoff in the next round. Now he's in first place, and we'll see where he goes. He has a chance here, getting back to the money part of this, and we see money all the time. If you're talking NBA and NFL, there's all this guaranteed money. And guys are, you know, Patrick Mahomes, and it's kind of ridiculous.
Oh.
And you don't see that in golf because it's not the same structure as far as they have their sponsors and guaranteed in that sense. But you got to earn it, right? You got to go make it. So if Dustin were to win this, Paul, and take away the about $17 million, right? He'll get the money for the win at the Tour Championship. He'll get the $15 million bonus money. He already in the last 2 weeks has won almost $3 million, about $2.7 million in the last. I mean, this could be like a $20 million or so 3 week window for Dustin Johnson. I know that's mind boggling for most people to think about in that short time, but that to me is what's great about golf is you've got to go out and do it, right? DJ didn't just get $20 million handed to him, whether he finishes last or first or whatever his scoring average is or anything else like you do in other sports. In golf, you got to go out and earn it. He could go out and earn $20 million, which would be almost unthinkable that a guy in that short a period of time could make that kind of money. But it, to me, again, that's what's great about golf, great about the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I think it's great that they finally, you know, I can't say they've caught up to everybody else because Patrick Mahomes made, $400 million in an instant as soon as he signed the contract. So, you know, you got to look at that. But, you know, what did he do to get there? Obviously, Mahomes is he's pretty darn special. I really hope I draft him tonight on my fantasy league team.
Yeah, good luck.
it would be nice. Exactly. But, you know, you look at DJ and yeah, it's going to be a heck of a Christmas for the DJ family.
you think?
That's for sure.
Molina?
So, yeah, you know, you look at that. That's awesome. Is it ungodly amount of money? Sure. Is it, you know, are they worthy? Yeah. I mean, it's, hey, like anything else, if people are willing to pay it,
win it.
No one's going to turn it down. And 20 mil, DJ's played great golf. And, that, you know, we've seen it over the last, what, 6 or 7 years, when Tiger kind of stepped aside for a bit, you know, we started seeing the Jason Days, the Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, each guy like had their own month, right? Remember that? Like it was every, ooh, now this is Rory's month. He's on fire. Oh, okay. Now JT's on fire. And it seemed like we were going through these cycles of greatness. And DJ's in it right now. And honestly, what happened at Boston, I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often. A player just being on fire, unconscious, whatever you want to talk it, for a long period of time, right? And we kind of see it. We, you know, he's in it right now, but to win by 11 shots, right? He shot 30 under par. Now, granted, it's a golf course that it's a big golf course, but it's one when you're on, you can destroy. And obviously he was on. I think it's great. I am surprised that we don't see more 6, 7, 8, 9 shot victories, because these are the best players in the world. You think that they should be able to hold it together, for, you know, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 rounds in a row of just being virtually perfect. But then again, golf is a hard game and it'll humble you. But I think DJ is, we've seen it, guys, over the last 8 years. I mean, he's won every year, correct?
Yeah.
The last 12 straight 9 years, or 10 years, I think.
12.
What is this? 12 years. And here's a guy that has, he's got it all, right? He's got the length. He's now got a great wedge game. His putting keeps improving. And when DJ drives it in the fairway, he's going to be out there with the elite in length. And then with a great wedge game, and he doesn't seem to be rattled too much, right? I mean, he just walks around like he's bored.
like he does, yeah. Like he's not sure where he is. Yeah.
You know, he's gone through it, man. I know he learned from the mistakes or the breakdowns early in his career, right? Was it Pebble Beach or something? He made a triple bogey in a major. Yeah. Was it Pebble? I forget. They're all running
Chambers
together.
Chambers Bay. Yeah.
Remember? Chambers
Bay. Chambers Bay. He's three putting from 8-10 feet, and you know, he's had his share of mistakes, but he's learned from it, and he keeps getting better. And so right now he's on fire. John Rahm, I mean, that dude's had an amazing year, right? And so you look at these guys and go, man, there's so many talented players out there. And right now, head to head this week, it'll be fun to watch these two.
John Rahm, by the way, was averaging 331.1 yards on two measured driving distance
at the
holes.
BMW?
Yeah, at the BMW. So, 331.1.
I averaged 260 in the air, so, I mean, big deal.
it's the same thing.
Here's another player that I want to get Paul's opinion on, and somebody he knows, is Webb Simpson. Webb's had one heck of a good year. He leads the PGA Tour this season in round two scoring average. It's 67.08, and he has the best scoring average of any player this season so far at 68.866.
And he starts in a number four spot. He's
number four.
Six under.
Number four.
First round.
And, you know, and there's a guy, you know, you look at DJ, and, you know, he's got swag, right? He's got a tremendous amount of swagger. John Rahm as well. You know, Webb, you know, doesn't have a lot of swag. He just kind of goes about his business and doesn't hit it super far. He putts it amazing. Boy, oh boy, what he did at Hilton Head was pretty wicked.
Yeah.
And when he's hot with the flat stick, which is what you have to do, because I don't care how good you hit it, you have to convert. And he's been converting a lot this year. But he, you know, you think about Zach Johnson when Zach was on fire. Zach did it, you know, from 30 yards behind the long hitters, right? Even though Webb has learned to hit it a little bit farther, he has in the last couple of years. He's still, you know, compared to Rahm and DJ and JT and a lot of the long guys, he's still, you know, got to be between 10 and 40 yards behind him. But he's still right there. So, yeah, there's so many guys this year that have had great years. And like I say, I brought up Ryan Palmer earlier. I'll bring him up again. this guy is, you know, he's would you call him a journeyman? I mean, the guy's won now, what, I don't even know, four times on the tour.
Maybe four. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe four, maybe five, three, four, five, something like that. But he's getting better, you know, and his putting is improving. And so the tour is chock full of amazing talent. Most of the guys are young, but then you start looking at these guys like DJ, who you mentioned is like 36. Webb's got to be in that same age bracket. John Rahm's still young. The Morikawas and Wolfs and Hovlands, you know, we're going to see more and more of those players every year. But, you know, as of right now, a late 30-something DJ can still move the golf ball and get it done. So, yeah, this is going to be a fun, I think a super fun week to watch some golf. Finishing on Monday, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a great weekend, hopefully. Weather will be permitting to allow them to get it in and finish it on time and without too many delays, hopefully. We're joined again by Paul Stankowski with PGA Tour Champions. Tell us about where you're at now, because you certainly have done a lot of work broadcasting-wise with PGA Tour Radio and PGA Tour Live and everything else there, but you've kind of put a lot of that on hold to get you're 50 years old now, to get your status on the PGA Tour Champions. Just missed qualifying last year, and I know that it's a real... my mind kind of goes numb when you think about all the different ways how you get on this or in these events and what's going on now because of COVID with even the qualifying schools and things that are happening on the different tours. So where do you stand right now? What's the next few weeks, next few months for you?
Well, this has been one of those years. You know, I turned in December. It was a horrible year to turn 50, you know, and, you know, I put the broadcasting microphone headphones down for the season so I could go chase those guys around and failing at Q school. While it hurt, it was also encouraging in that, you know, that I was right there the whole time. And so I've worked my butt off for the last year and a half trying to get my game ready. I feel like it's in a position that I can go out there and be competitive with those guys. And so I'm looking for opportunities. I'm doing the Mondays, and I missed a few weeks back. I did the last Monday that was available to qualify for was in Michigan, and I missed it by a shot. So that makes two out of the three I tried this year missed by a shot. But there again, you know, disheartened a little bit, but also encouraged because, you know, my game is right there. So I leave tomorrow for South Dakota to do the qualifying for the Sanford event. I'm writing letters for exemptions, hoping to get a spot. There's a bunch of guys like me that are on the outside looking in that, you know, it's tough. There's only, you know, five invites they can give every week. So I haven't gotten one of those yet. I'm hoping to either get one of those or, you know, earn my way in through qualifying. So that's the deal. I'm working my butt off. And just chomping at the bit. I'd love to get a chance. I watching Jimmy go out there and make his debut and win and Phil last week or a couple weeks ago. It's awesome. I'm looking for a chance. Unfortunately, that tour is one of the hardest to get on. Mm-hmm. And it seems like half of their tournaments don't even have qualifyings. You know, they added two events in Missouri this year, one of which Phil won and they didn't have a Monday qualifying for that. So it's a bummer. You know, I wish that they would each week, you know, let us go after it. There's only 30 to 50 guys, and they're all tour winners that have been kind of stiff-armed out of that tour. So it's tough. You know, it's tough. It's tough to sit here and wait. But you know, this is what I wanted to do.
And there's no normal qualifying anymore. They got rid of the qualifying
this year. They're going to get rid of no qualifying this coming fall. So right. It's going to be just like the Korn Ferry Tour, one big super season. So their playoffs, their Schwab Cup, 3-week deal, those events, which were like the tour, playoffs, they started with a smaller field and got smaller this, you know, now with COVID, they've actually turned that to they're all full field events. So 81 players for the last three, but no qualifying. So I'm, you know, I'm at the mercy of being granted a sponsor invite or just around and wait. So there's three more events as of now. There's this week, Sanford. Next week is Pure Insurance at Pebble. Qualifying's at Fort Ord Bayonet.
Oh, you'll get in that one. You love that place. Then,
I love it there. I'll be there, that's for sure, giving it my all. And then North Carolina, I believe the SAS is the last opportunity to qualify. So yeah, that's the plan. I've been doing you know, holding up my end of the bargain and working my butt off and trying to be ready when the bell rings.
Again, Paul Stankowski joining us, talking about getting on the Champions Tour. And in between, you can play in, obviously, a lot of different ones. A couple weeks ago, you were playing at a senior open in Colorado. So there's different smaller events, but things like that at least keep you playing, right? Keep you sharp a little bit.
Yeah, there are a handful of old guy events around. And so that was the Colorado Senior Open. With a great field, 156 players, you know, a bunch of the same guys I'm going to see on Monday in this qualifier were there as well. So we're all looking for places to play. You know, that's the thing. And you know, there's plenty of mini tours around. I can go play in that, you know, there's an APT tour or whatever. But I'm going and playing against 20-year-olds, and I'm like, I'm not that interested in competing against the young guys. I want to play the uptees. So I've had my fun back there. But yeah, so just trying to compete. I played in a section event here in North Texas this week. It was a pro, so it was a fun event. Played with a local pro, Tony Martinez, who's just a super guy, head pro at Keaton Park here in Dallas, and at Keaton Park. And we played at Sherrill Park, which was a lot of fun. And it was fun. So it's competition. Anything I can play in that, you know, I have a shot that means something is good. And it'll go a long way to get me ready.
By the way, the Tour Championship, which will get started again, it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Labor Day on Monday and finishing up. Top 30 players on the tour that are there. The guys that aren't there, Paul, are somewhat surprising, although the fact that Tiger isn't there is disappointing, maybe not surprising because he hasn't played an awful lot this year. But there are some big names. I mean, when you whittle it down and you look at the guys that are there, especially, you know, at the bottom where guys are trying to fight their way in, you've got, you know, lesser, I'm going to say it this way, as far as notoriety goes, of Abraham Anser and Mackenzie Hughes and Victor Hovland and Billy Horschel, Cameron Smith. No Tiger, certainly no Jordan Spieth. So the sex appeal, if you will, might be missing a little bit from having some of the bigger names there. But doesn't it also show, when you're talking about playing against these young 20-year-olds on some of these other events and tours, how deep and how good the PGA Tour is? I know it was when you were playing in your prime, but it just seems like they just keep reloading, and there's these good young players that even if you are Tiger Woods or a Jordan Spieth or a Justin Rose, Jason Day, different guys that have been there but maybe aren't keeping it all together, there's guys ready to step right up and take your spot as quick as you can blink.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, look at these guys. So, you know, you named a few of them, but, you know, the top four, DJ, Rom, Thomas, Webb. Okay, those guys have been staples now for the last 5 years on tour. Colin Morikawa, rookie. Daniel Berger, good to see him back. Harris English had a good bout. He was fighting for his card 2 years ago and had a two-putt from 60 feet on the last hole just to keep it. DeChambeau, that's impressive what he's been doing. M was, you know, a Korn Ferry graduate. Two years ago, I guess. Brennan Todd, comeback player of the year, in my opinion. But then you look at like Sebastian Munoz from North Texas. Won. He's starting at 3-under par. And Scottie Scheffler, dude, that dude can play some golf as well. Joaquin Niemann, another youngster. There's so many good young players. And then down at the end, Cameron Smith, Hovland, Hughes, and Champ. I'll tell you what, this is a, you know, what have you done for me lately deal. And you're not in this tour championship unless you've performed at the highest level all year. The golf ball doesn't know who you are. Doesn't know if your name is Fowler or Spieth or Woods or Mickelson. It doesn't matter. If you don't play well, you don't get in. So I love that element of it. I love the fact that there's a lot of young guys that are going to be pushing these older guys out, or at least trying to. But then I also love the stories of the Mickelsons, the guys who, you know, late in his 40s were still getting it done. You know, I'm sure the Champions Tour guys would love to see Phil play a full schedule on the PGA Tour next year. He's going to win every week otherwise.
Stealing your money.
I love that you can have a 23-year-old next to a 44-year-old, I guess, Ryan Palmer, 43, in the same tournament. And it's game time. Let's go, boys. And so what a great game that we play. And for those that get to play it for a living at a top level, it's pretty special.
Well, Paul, we appreciate your time, and best of luck staying out of the drive-thru at Whataburger and keeping in shape, because
thank you.
You got to stay after, and Mr. Van Beesen has got you working and getting ready. I just want to turn it on a PGA Tour Champions event and see Mr. Sankowski out there on the tee playing with those guys and yucking it up with some of your old friends, which is, I know, a part of it, right? Part of what you want to do is compete and get back to that world of competing. But it's also, it's kind of like old home week, isn't it? You want to go and say, hey, and guys, maybe you haven't seen an awful lot of, suddenly you're back in that environment. And I know you will be. It's within a few shots here and there. But keep up all the hard work, and it'll pay off sooner rather than later. And we can't wait. Hopefully you have time once you get on that tour and play regularly, have time to call in once in a while on the show here and give us an update, because we're big fans. Frank, for years and years, has gone to Tucson and gone to the event that they have there for the PGA Tour Champions. So, yeah, we're really excited about it. So it's great talking with you, but I really hope that that all that stuff comes, all your hard work and your dieting and working out and everything else is all coming to fruition here, and you'll be on that tour a lot sooner rather than later. Okay.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, if the worst thing that happens, guys, is that I stay in good shape, then that's awesome. You know, I'm thankful. You know, I had that 4 years ago. I had a stent put in my heart, and you know, I was 210 pounds and going the wrong way. Had a business that was sucking the ever loving life out of me, and literally. And so, to be healthy and to be able to go out and play golf and have a chance. Like I always looked at it, I have a chance to have a chance. That's what the qualifiers are, right? And and I get to do this. And I'm a 50-year-old kid right now. I'm excited. My family's on board. My wife is thrilled that I'm out there trying to compete again. And this is what I've done for a long time. And so yeah, I'm looking forward while I'm looking forward to go and playing alongside all the guys that I played with as a young professional. I don't want to just play with them. I want to go out there and beat them. I want a chance, and I'm looking forward to seeing when that comes, if that comes, because we're not guaranteed anything. So I may never get to play in any Champions events, but you know, the qualifiers are a great opportunity to see a lot of the guys, and that's what I do. There's a bunch of guys that I can say are like me. There's only 78 players on the inside out there every week. So you got to figure there's at least 100 guys like me that are of the age that, you know, want to play. And so the fact that I get to go to the Monday qualifiers, a lot of guys can't. I'm pretty excited and thankful for it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, we're big fans, Paul, as you well know, and we wish you all the best. You don't need luck. You have the talent, and you're just one stroke out right now, buddy. So go knock on dead.
I appreciate it. Hey, if it doesn't work out, is there an extra seat next to you guys? Because I kind of could use some money.
Any day you want to come in, you can replace Tim
Absolutely
Matthews
no room
any
whatsoever.
Day you want to.
I love it. Love you guys. Hey, take care.
Love you too, pal. See ya.
All right. See ya. Take care, Stank. All right, buddy. Paul Sankowski, and It's tough, Frank, but you know what? Like he said, it's what keeps you going, and he's lucky that he's got family behind him and everything else to allow you to do that, because as we all know, it's not cheap to chase that dream, right?
No.
And guys do it when they're 20 and 21, 22 on the PGA Tour or the Korn Ferry Tour, trying to get there and having mom and dad maybe back when you're younger helping you out financially. Then you get older and you got the same thing, you're trying it again, and you got you know, your wife or whoever saying, okay, are you going to actually make some money? You know, it's a tough thing.
How's that hobby working out
for you? If it's just able to do it and get in there. Boy, I tell you, it was heartbreaking last year at qualifying school, because if I remember right, kind of in the ballpark here, he went into the final day And I think they picked five guys. Let's say it's five out of the 80 that were playing or something.
I think
like
it was
that.
Three.
And three?
Yeah, I think it was three.
And he, I believe, finished double bogey, bogey, bogey maybe, or something like that. Was three or four over in the last four or five holes and lost, missed out by a shot.
Yep.
I mean,
one shot,
like
one stroke.
Those bogeys turns into a par. The double bogey is just a bogey. I mean, it was like, so to be that close, as he said, was frustrating yet encouraging to know that he was right there. But boy, it'd be a whole different game, right? If you kind of know you've got a card
snapping for, shafts
for the whole, you know, it's like, yeah, it's anyway,
he'll get there. He'll get there.
He's a hell of a player.
He's he's
right
PGA Tour champion.
Yeah.
He's won on tour, so. You know, he's got the head and now the body for it. He's, you know, gotten himself in heart shape and health shape, and he's a good dude.
And I think
he's
got the right attitude. Remember,
yeah,
remember we talked with Dr. Winters, the sports psychologist, in our last show, I believe.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, I can't remember his term, but something indifference when he talked about it with DJ, and that is, you know, the fact that you can kind of put it behind you, bad hole, bad putt, bad drive, bad golf tournament, whatever, and you put it behind you. And Paul has kind of that same indifference where he can kind of let the water run off his back and say, okay, well, I was almost there. Instead of letting it grind you. And if it grinds you, I think it can really cause problems, you know, and you'll never get back. But he's kind of got the right attitude, I think. So anyway,
yeah, he does.
We'll follow him. We'll see what happens. Absolutely. Back to the Tour Championship.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be fun.
Are you feeling that it might be a surprise? Are you think it'd just be hard to not bet for the top two guys, which would be DJ and Rom? But
you know,
think it might be a surprise?
I think there may be, only because of the level of play that both of those guys have had to elevate their game to, and keep that intensity level up. It's tough. I mean, it is mentally and physically taxing, as you well know, as Dr. Van Biesen tells us and Dr. Winters tells us, again and again. But Justin Thomas is mighty hungry, and Webb Simpson is very hungry. And Webb's a brainy player and a hell of a putter. So I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, watch Webb and Justin Thomas a little bit in this.
Okay.
Thing.
Okay.
I'm
going to go with Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh,
I'm going to say DeChambeau's going to kind of put it back together.
Not on this
but
course.
I don't think if you get past these guys. Frank, and I'm talking the guys that are around 4 under. You got Rory at 3 under. I really believe that's about as far down as you can go. I don't think anybody that's past 7 shots back of DJ, Rom, those guys going into the turn, I just don't think they're starting too far back. I just don't think that you're going to see a guy, let's say Scottie Scheffler, let's say Tony Finau, 2 under par. I just don't know that they can make that up in 4 rounds. Because you're going to not only have to play really well, you're going to hope that Rom, DJ, and all the guys in front of you are all going to be shooting par, a couple under par, while you're going 5 and 6 under par. And I just don't know that day after day you can do that for 4 rounds. I really think it's got to be realistically one of those top kind of 10, 11 guys. You know,
I certainly don't disagree with that. But I'm sure our good friend Ryan Palmer, next time you run into him in the grocery store there in Dallas,
he's going to disagree.
Is going to disagree with a T-bone upside the head.
But what I think they really believe is, I'm lucky to get there, right? You struggle. We all watched at the end of the BMW, Mackenzie Hughes almost shakingly making a 3.5 footer with about a 2-ball break or something to just get in, right? That was the goal, just get into the Tour Championship.
Make or break, right there.
Once you get in, you realize, okay, I'm at the back of the bus here. I mean, I'm going to have a hard time. I realize that it's not, but you just got in. I don't think a lot of those guys realistically think, okay, let me do the math. I'm going to have to shoot 4 rounds of 65 or better and hope, not only do that, but hope the other guys don't. I think they know that.
It's like going into
Vegas. They're going to get $200,000 no matter what.
Like 250. It's like going into Vegas with a $250,000 free marker. Here you go. Have fun.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not, because you're not going to lose that 250. So,
I mean, you want to do the best you can. It's just, I think there has to be a sense of realistic expectations.
But what's in the contracts? Okay. What's in their brand ambassador agreements with all these different apparel and
you get a bonus for being the Tour Championship.
Yeah.
You get a bonus if you move up in your world ranking. I mean,
just the exemption as the Tour Champion is pretty big too. So there's just a lot more that goes into it, and that 3-foot putt becomes 30 feet sometimes.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. For Mackenzie Hughes, as they kind of went through the drama, which was great. That was what's great about BMW is that there was always drama about that number. It was almost the tournament within the tournament of not only seeing Rahm and Dieter. Okay, that was exciting. But who are those guys that are right around that bubble, right? Who was around 30? Who was 31 and 32? Well, who was 28, 29? And you're making pars and bogeys and birdies that are moving you a few spots here and there. As they said, for Mackenzie Hughes, he gets in all the majors. He gets an exemption. He goes to the Tour Champion. I mean, it goes through all these things that you get.
Life-changing.
For being in the top 30,
Well, here's some interesting stuff before we get out of here. I mean, we have two PGA Tour rookies that qualified for the Tour Championship this season, and Scottie Scheffler and Victor Hovland. Two rookies qualified. Mm-hmm. You have three FedEx Cup champions that remain in the FedEx Cup playoffs, which is McIlroy, Justin Thomas, and number 30, Billy Horschel, who barely got in on the bubble. And three first-timers, Griffin, Scheffler, and Hovland are the three first-timers in the field.
Yep.
McIlroy, interestingly enough, a little stat, it becomes the fifth defending FedEx Cup champion to return to the Tour Championship. In the following season after winning the FedEx Cup title, which is
Is that right?
Yeah. Only five have returned after winning it to defend.
Well, you know, it's not – we talk about DJ. You know, my kind of final thought is, and certainly while he looks as prime can be and on top of his game, we certainly see from week to week where a guy wins a tournament one week and the very next week will miss the cut. And you'd be like, how do you lose it that quickly? Like, at least you'd make the cut, and you're not going to win every week. But we've seen it happen. It's not unfathomable that Dustin Johnson, even on the role he's on, could have some struggles. He's not going to obviously miss the cut. They're all going to keep playing. But he might shoot par around par. He might shoot a 72 or 73. It's certainly not impossible to do that. And if that is the case, a Scottie Scheffler comes in and shoots a 64, bam, suddenly you picked up seven shots on DJ in one round. It could happen. And I hope it does from a drama standpoint. I'm not pulling for anybody necessarily, but I would like to see some drama, right? I would like to see it come down to a real shootout on Monday where there's four, five, six guys that have a realistic chance of winning that. That's what I want. Yeah. So, DJ's, just because he's playing well, won't guarantee he's going to continue shooting 64s and 65s. And maybe he's exhausted, right? That's a lot of pressure for two or three weeks in a row to keep playing at that high level. He might just be like, you know what, I'm going to tune out.
Well, it's going to be fun, and this has been our little preview show for the Tour Championship. It's going to be a lot of fun, going to be a lot of competition. And we'll be back next week, of course, to wrap it all up for the 2019-2020 PGA Tour season. Then we kick back in, and please, God, let 2021 get here quickly. Because 2020 has not been the best of years for a lot of folks.
Get that vaccine and everything else
To go. Let's get it going.
Before we say goodbye, Frank, we also want to remind people that talking about Eastlake and talking about traveling, we've talked recently with our good friends and our lead sponsor at Club Corp about what they've got planned. So they're looking at Club Corp doing big things for the next season, for the fall here in 2020, but also 2021. And what they're going to do with different people. They have clubs all over the country, as we all know. We talk about them all the time. And they're going to showcase some of those great golf courses, Firestone and different golf courses that they are partners with that we're really looking forward to being a part of that for the upcoming season as well. And
they ask us to participate. They want us to be on site at those events. And they're going to be doing a lot, as you know, with the First Tee of Dallas, with a pilot project, too, that we'll talk more about in the upcoming shows and get some of those people on. I want to tell our listeners, too, if you haven't had an opportunity, go to, in Dallas, Texas, it's called, is it The Fan? Is that the tag name?
The Fan is my radio station that I do a local show on here.
On Sundays? Sunday mornings?
105.3, The Fan.
Sundays. Our listeners need to check that show out, too. That's a really good show, and it's called The Game. Golf and More Experience. So
that's right.
So check that
that's
out. Right. And also check out our friends at the French Lick Resort who sponsor us. FrenchLick.com. They're open. The casino's open. The spa's open. The hiking trails. The Pete Dye course. The Donald Ross course. The Tom Bendelow course, which was not redesigned by Donald Ross. So, you know, we really appreciate our sponsors. This has been a great season for us. And last but not least is our relationship with the Buffalo Group also. Morning Read, which is a fabulous publication, comes directly into your inbox Monday through Saturday. Go
to
morningread.com.
Yep.
subscribe. Yeah. It's free. You can find some really good podcasts from our other friends there, along with us, on the Morning Read Podcast Network. And so
great
check
articles.
Them out. Great articles. Great yeah. articles. And guess what? They're not 100% promoting everything. You've got some guys that write for that publication that can be very controversial. So
sure.
I mean, yeah. very controversial.
Very strong opinions, which is cool, right? I mean, you may or may not agree, but it gets it out there. So,
well, that's what
Morning,
you want.
Morning Read is phenomenal place there. And the Buffalo Group, which is marketing and helps everybody and helps yeah. us get our message out there and our podcast out there and everything else. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people that and we've got a lot more shows to do. We act like we're winding things up, but it kind of just came to my mind as we're winding down the FedEx Cup playoff and the final thing here, too, that just wanted to thank and make sure that we do acknowledge all the people that make this possible for us
yeah.
And the future that's coming up. And yeah, you're right. When we kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel with COVID here in Dallas, they've downscaled as far as the color coding, you know, from red being the highest to orange.
Right.
They did that a couple of days ago. It went to orange. And you start to feel like maybe we're going to get through this, because
yes.
there's certainly times when you feel like it's never going to end, but it will, and we'll get through it. And I think we're really looking forward to it. We've been landlocked and homelocked way longer than we want to be. So we really want to get out to some of those great Club Corp golf courses and host some people and do shows from there and meet a lot of the people.
Yeah.
that are listening to our podcast now at some of the courses all over the country. Again, Club Corp has over 300 of them. So we're going to be out on the road, and we're going to
be on the road
out there.
We're going to be at Club Corp properties very soon, doing some special events. And also, we'll be at French Lick in 2 weeks for a special event, and we'll be live from there. You'll be in Dallas, of course. I'll be in French Lick,
yeah.
along with a good friend, Brendan Sweeney, who's a co-host, a traveling co-host for us when we need him. We'll be doing the show with me up there, along with you, coming in from Dallas, for a great group of guys that I'm not going to spill the beans too much. They have a lot of fun, and it's going to be some. There will be a couple of fun shows that come out of that French Lick trip. Tune in, folks, because you never know what you're going to hear. And those shows will be recorded at night for you, so
yes.
think about it.
Are you saying there's going to be lubrication added
yeah.
to the show there?
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of that, I'm sure. So, well, when you say the Friars Club, we'll just leave it at that. So it's going to be a lot of
anyway,
fun. Anyway,
it'll be fun.
Everybody enjoy
Take
the
care.
Tour Championship. It's going to be a blast.
Yep. Yep, yep. Should be a great, great tournament, no matter who wins, and we'll see the results. Again, just hoping for some drama come Monday, because I'll be stuck in front of my TV like a lot of you will be, too. Hey, we love each and every one of you. Thanks so much. Be sure to tell your friends to check out our podcast, Golf Talk America, on all the different vehicles and formats that you can go to and find our podcast. It's all over there, and our numbers keep going up and up and up, and we're so happy to all of you for listening and checking us out whenever you get a chance to. Thank you to Paul Stankowski for joining us today. And for Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks once again, and remember to join us next time right here on Golf Talk America.